Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Best-selling children's author Sandra Boynton has gone country with her fifth CD book combination. The latest is called Frog Trouble. Boynton tapped stars, including Brad Paisley, Alison Krauss, and Josh Turner, to perform her original songs. Calling Sandra Boynton accomplished, a bit of an understatement. She's a writer, illustrator, humorist, songwriter, producer, and director who's put out more than 50 books. She seems to go in many different directions in her work, with Frog Trouble, the compass pointed to Nashville. It's a pleasure to welcome Sandra Boynton to the Roundtable this morning.
So excited to be here. Thank you.
I love your work, and I love that you're here with us. Give us a sense of how these music projects started for you.
They started because I have four children, now all grown. But when people would give them as presents for birthdays or whatever, children's music, I felt that whenever I in the future have time, I am going to do children's music that is a whole different theory of children's music.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, through my own observation, that without it being saccharine, without it being somewhat silly, right, that it could be something meaningful as well as artistically enduring.
That's the hope. I don't know why children's music became something condescending and repetitive and ungrounded. You know, music should be music, and lyrics should be interesting, and the music should go someplace and should have some sonic complexity. And I don't know why it became something else, but I've been excited to find my own space.
In finding your own space, did you ever imagine that you would be writing songs someday?
I had a long time ago written some songs in college for a musical adaptation that I did of the Pied Piper, that was actually from the point of view of the rats. The rats are the heroes of the stars, and the musical is called Rats. So I had written some music a long time ago. I guess I didn't either rule it out, or I think what's most surprising isn't the writing of the songs, it's how much I love producing music. That's perhaps my favorite thing to do, is to be the producer in a recording studio. I get into a recording studio and they can't get me out. I just love it.
You were admiring this studio just moments ago.
I love the studio.
So what is it about the project, and about, of course, you and your cachet of being able to bring in these incredible names that you've been bringing in through these various musical projects?
I think because I write these songs with particular artists in mind, and they're artists whose work I know well and whose work I love, it's got a very interesting synergy to it. And I'm usually taking these artists a little bit in a direction they didn't expect to go. But I don't know. I think it's just been a great privilege to collaborate. I love collaborating. I love collaborating with artists whose work I admire. I originally thought I was going to be a theater director. And then when my daughter was born, I thought, this is not a good direction to go for a mom, is to be, you know, out at night and living in a city and that. So it's very, in a funny way, I've come full circle and found my own way to do this kind of collaboration.
Is it two separate projects? Because the product that we see in front of us of Frog Trouble is a beautiful book and a beautiful CD. So are those two very separate things?
They are in terms of their evolution, but not in terms of what it's like to do them. I do the recording first. This is my fifth album, and the recording is very much the center of it and can stand on its own. It's not dependent on the book. And then I get to do the book, which is in a funny way, the easy part of it. You know, that the tracks are done and I can figure out what the visual equivalent is for them and put the music in and write about the artists. And it's sort of the most glorified liner notes you can imagine. I'm someone who, as a kid, had, you know, all the LPs strewn out on the floor, and I read their backs and their liner notes. And so that's what this book stands for, is that experience of just living with the liner notes.
Did you know you would always eventually get to country music? That would be...
I didn't, and I was very naive. I really thought People kept asking me why I hadn't done country music, and it struck me as such a strange question because I'm from Philadelphia, you know, it's not the normal country music territory. And I think if there's anything I learned in doing Frog Trouble, and I've learned a lot doing Frog Trouble, this is a 2-year project, day and night, it was how wrong I was about my own, that I didn't think I had country roots. And I was completely wrong about that. You know, I'm the same age as rock and roll. I grew up with rock and roll. I love rock and roll. And of course, its roots are country. And also people who grew up in my era, you know, all the television shows, all the cowboy shows. I mean, there's a reason that the Frog Trouble title track here is a cowboy theme morphing into a lonesome cowboy track.
Okay, stranger, you don't know me, and I don't know you, but I'm telling you this, and it might be true. There's only one thing gets a cowboy down. It's the kind of trouble that we've got in this town. Frog trouble.
So it was very much to find that this actually is my, it's sort of the core of my musical experience is, and not surprisingly, this album is old country. It's not new country is something else. So these are new country artists doing old country songs and that kind of direction and sensibility.
Mark Lanegan sings.
Yeah, it's Mark Lanegan. And
sings Frog Trouble.
He does. Obviously known for his work with Screaming Trees and Queens of the Stone Age and more recently with Isabel Campbell. I've worked with Mark once before on a rock album. And it was actually my son Devin knew I was looking for that low-voiced singer. And I said, I can't, you know, Johnny Cash isn't around. I can't find the right singer. He said, well, you really should get Mark Lanegan. He's the perfect voice and there's no one like him. And he was so right. I've gotten to work with him twice now. And there's no one like Mark Lanegan. Just amazing.
I've never met frogs face to face. I've known any frogs on a first name basis. And it's hard to imagine what the trouble might be. But I like to say it importantly. Frog trouble. Bad, bad frog trouble.
There is some, this beautiful, beautiful music on here with Casey Musgraves.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a gorgeous song. It's called Heartache Song.
They make me clean up my room and put away my toys. When company comes, can't make any noise. Whoa. They say I must take a bath, but I've had one before. I'm just so upset, I can't take.
Yeah, she was actually the one artist I didn't know on this album. I knew what kind of artist I wanted for that song. I wanted basically Brenda Lee 50 years ago. And so I didn't know who to ask for that album. It's a, you know, it's a throwback rockabilly lament song. I ended up with a lot of guides through the Nashville world, and one of them was Michael Corcoran, Alison Krauss's manager. And I called him. I said, Michael, I cannot think of who can do this song. And he said, oh, Casey Musgraves has been opening for Allison this summer. This is a year ago summer. And he said, if you can get her, there's no one like her. And he's right. She was exactly the right person. When we were working together in the studio, she opens her mouth and you just go, absolutely, this is the person who should be doing this song.
Won't somebody listen to these feelings of mine?
And then you're lucky because, I mean, not only do you have this incredible music, but you also have these incredible names to be able to sell the project.
Yeah.
as well, the Brad Paisleys, the Josh Turners,
right.
Dwight Yoakam.
And you're right, it matters. You do need the, you know, especially in this day and age with recording and books, both, you know, both are embattled industries. And you need a reason really for you know, stores to take it on first and foremost and to get the promotion for it. I am very lucky in the people I get to collaborate with. There was a point at which this project really looked like it wasn't going to get off the ground because, as I say, Nashville is a little bit of a closed town. And I was trying so hard to put these recordings together. And I just woke up one morning and I said, I should just write a song called When Pigs Fly. And then I did. And it's funny. It's not a funny song. It's a song of encouragement. It's a song, and I very much wrote it for myself. And I thought, well, why stop there? And I sent it to Ryan Adams, thinking there's no way, but he's exactly who I hear singing it. And 2 days later, I heard back that he was going to do it. And 3 weeks later, I think it was 3 weeks, we were in L.A. recording Ryan Adams.
I know you for a dreamer, 'cause I've been a dreamer too. You've got that faraway look in your searching eyes, and a heart that's steady and true. And I think I know what you're looking for in the endless blue of the sky. You wait for the time when pigs fly.
And the whole project turned around from that point. It was a self-fulfilling song.
What is it like to be in that studio, which you've already admitted to enjoying, hearing Ryan Adams sing your song?
There aren't words for that. It's surreal. In that case, it was also very validating. I hadn't been able to get sort of key people in Nashville to take me seriously. You know, I was told I needed to have a Nashville producer for this or people wouldn't show up in the studio. And I said, but that's the fun of it. I'm producing the tracks. I'm not going to hand that over. So to be there, especially with Ryan Adams, and, you know, he has a reputation of sometimes being difficult. He couldn't have been nicer, more focused, more interested, more. I just think he's a phenomenal artist, too. I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone quite like him.
The time has come when pigs fly. It's a beautiful thing when pigs fly.
Is it different when you're working with someone like of a Brad Paisley, when you're talking about sort of a country music stratosphere almost?
Yeah.
This guy is selling out stadiums.
Yes. Is that different than Ryan Adams?
Is it different than working with someone who does not have that? I mean, getting not even so much the individual, but right. Working through the layers.
It's interesting. Working with the artist is no different. Working with the layers is hugely different.
Right.
And in that particular track, I mean, working with Brad was great. You know, working at his studio at his home outside of Nashville, and he was terrific. And then 2 months after the recording, I get word that his label's not sure they're going to let it go forward. And you go, but nobody even said that might be an issue, and that was pretty discouraging. But you know, you go through the fires that present themselves.
That's so annoying.
So annoying.
Last week I bought me a cowboy hat. Now you guys are wearing them too. Why, oh, why do you copycat when I don't copycat you?
Copycat.
No, 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 copycat.
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 Please don't copycat. Copycat.
Copycat.
I really don't like it when you copycat.
I really don't like it when you copycat.
In telling the story about Ryan Adams, of writing and a few days later you receive a note back, I assume that many of the artists that you're working with know you. They know your work and they see the name and they say, oh my God, this is really cool.
I think that's true in some cases. Actually, in Ryan Adams' case, I think not. I think he didn't. He doesn't have kids, but his manager did. His manager has kids, and I've known his manager. I'd actually never met him. I finally got to meet him at the session, but I've been in touch with him since I tried to get Foo Fighters 8 years ago for an album. Same manager. So I've kept in touch with him. His name is Michael Meisel. He's terrific. And I've kept in touch. So I got in touch with him asking about Ryan. He said, he doesn't have kids. I don't think he knows your work. He said, but I'll make sure he hears it. And Ryan just really liked the track. And that's pretty exciting when you send a demo to someone of something you've written, someone like Ryan Adams. And he didn't even want to replace the guitar that we had on the track, which was done. We just figured he'd want to play it. And he just really liked the way it was. He just wanted to sing to it. And it was great.
Are the Foo Fighters the one that got away?
So far.
We're still trying.
We're still trying. I would love to work with them.
And there's also the component, of course, of the education, the musical education component for children.
It's interesting because it's not a direct thing I'm thinking about or task. I have heard that people use these books and these CDs of mine a lot in music education. And that's exciting for me that people are, using these, I think, somewhat more complex songs, with young children to talk about how music is put together. And I think one of the reasons Ben Folds so much wanted to do this is he's very involved in music education and even music therapy. And he loved the whole idea of being part of that.
I don't know just how old I was, but when I was quite small, I found an old piano, but no one played at all. I climbed a stool and tried the keys, and soon I found a song. You know, I knew right then and there that here's where I belong. As long as I can keep on playing, I'm happy as can be. Everybody said the piano was broken, but it seems to play for me.
That track entitled Broken Piano.
Yes, and if there's anyone who should do a track called Broken Piano, it's Ben Folds, and that was amazing to work with him. He had been producing all day long, producing Flaming Lips. So he was the producer, and then he kept putting off our session to the evening. So we started pretty late. And if there's anyone who doesn't seem human, it's Ben Folds. He's like the Ever Ready Bunny. He doesn't flag. He's going from the piano to the vocal mic to back to the piano, trying to work out. And he says, I'm not used to honky-tonk. I'm going to get it. And it was just, but he doesn't flag. He has the energy of, 26-year-olds.
My granddad listened to me play, and he began to smile. He played a fiddle tune for me. We both played for a while. And when I had to leave, he said, come back whenever you can. And ever since, most every day, you find me there again. Here we go.
Voices that are included in this. I mean, just the vocal capability of everyone from a Darius Rucker to Linda Etter, who you wouldn't even really put in a country category.
Yeah, it's interesting. Linda Etter is someone she most sees, obviously a wonderful Broadway singer. She most sees herself or the kind of music she loves as country music. Mm. And I hadn't known that. I've been a Linda Etter fan forever, but it was my daughter, Caitlin, also a huge fan, but pays more attention to the backstory of things. And she says, you do know that Linda Etter would be perfect for this. This is the kind of music that she feels is closest to her heart. So I thought, well, that's the song I wanted her to sing is a blues song. It's an upbeat blues song in a way. And she's the only artist we recorded in Mike and I recorded at our own studio in New England. And she's got to be not only the most talented person, but just the nicest person imaginable.
I know the color of the ocean. I know the color of the night. of the faraway song. And oh, it's always so right. Deepest blue, deepest blue.
The great thing, as I mentioned before, about the project, it is a book and a CD, so you don't get away from the day job. The illustrations are here, the ones that we have known and loved and are so familiar to us.
It's true. It follows the recording of the album. I didn't start on the book, other than the cover. The cover preceded everything, including any of the songwriting, because it made it real to me that it was going to exist someday. So I had a mock-up book before I had anything else. And so then the cover was the first thing. Then the entire recording, which took almost a year and a half. And then I did the book following that.
From talking to you, it seems as though this is something you want to keep doing.
I would love to keep doing it. It's complex. It's a very complex thing to do. And I'm not sure what direction to. I'm not someone who tends to look particularly far forward. I tend to see what path opens before me that I suddenly want to follow. So I'm not sure. The thing I truly love to do the most is create this music.
And you do a beautiful job.
Thank you so much.
Of it. The project is called Frog Trouble and 11 Other Pretty Serious Songs. It is published by Workman. Sandra Boynton, a delight and a great pleasure to have you in our studio and to have you with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is the station I listen to all the time, so it's exciting to be on it.
Delight to have you here. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Frog Trouble. It is published by Workman.
It's been pretty rough.
Frog Trouble.
You gotta be tough.
Frog trouble.
Oh no, just what I need.
Trouble.
Another frog stampede. Frog trouble.
Frog trouble.
Frog trouble.
Frog trouble.
Frog trouble.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.